Here's a research slide that I pinched from Roger Fagan. This shows an example of that. It's these PCBs. They're these some of these chemicals that are found in pesticides. And if we take that quality of intelligence into the physiology, what happens is the cognitive ability, our learning ability, our memory decreases. So this is a very scientific demonstration. Bad intelligence, bad effect. Good intelligence into the body, good qualities of mind. Let me look now at two other standards that are an important part of Vedic agriculture. Simply so you have a complete, more complete picture. We've talked about the need for the Vedic recitations. We've talked about the need for the coherence in collective consciousness. Two other important qualities are that the food is fully ripened in its natural environment. We pick the tomato on the vine when the tomato is red. We don't pick it in Mexico 2 weeks prior as it's green and hard as a rock, put it in a truck, add a little gas, and it gets red by the time it gets to Fairfield. That is not fully ripened. Why is it important? Because the plant is, as you've seen, it's going through a sequence of intelligence, a sequence of these eight prakritis as it's growing. If we cut it short, it's not fully enlivened in natural law. Same thing is, the second quality is this idea of freshness. You know, Maharshi was really strong on fresh food simply because the vitality. In Vedic science, we say the Shakti value, the energy, the real, you know, the real Vedic value of the food is lost as soon as it becomes separated from its mother plant, as soon as it's picked. And again, there's a scientific basis for both these things. Here's a study that shows the loss of beta carotene following harvest, and 750 units of beta carotene. On day one, after about a week, it's down to less than half. Just on a simple nutritional value, that broccoli that's coming from California has half the nutrition it had when it left California. On a ripening scale, here's a study that shows that if an apple is fully ripe on September 14th, that's the end of the chart, you can see on the right side. If we pick it on August 3rd in order to put it in cold storage and keep it for 6 months, then it's not fully developed. It hasn't gone through its full mature ripening stage, and therefore it hasn't developed all its nutrition. So let me summarize briefly some of the things we've talked about. When we have coherence in collective and individual consciousness, when there's purity, when there's coherence, that coherence directly affects how vital natural law is, how strong natural law is, how much natural law can express itself. That vitality of natural law is going to affect the physical environment, how strong the plants are, how strong we are, how strong the expression of nature is. And that in a progressive cycle will then affect individual consciousness again. Another way of looking at it, if society is pure, collective consciousness is strong, the environment becomes pure. We have purity of the soil, the water, the air. There's balance in nature. Man behaves himself if it's coherent. That results naturally in purity of food, which means good quality, good vitality, good nutrition, like that. Pardon? Yeah, it's a little late now, but you can dim the lights just a little bit. Yeah, I want to conclude before I turn it over to Acharya Dave, And also, to give you a chance to ask questions. We wanted to make sure you had plenty of time to ask questions. But let me read some of these quotes from Maharshi's writings about Vedic agriculture as a summary. It's on the screen. Good. The basis of Maharshi Vedic agriculture is the fundamental unity and dynamic link between man and nature, between individual human intelligence and cosmic intelligence or nature's intelligence. Agriculture is agreeing with the culturing intelligence of total natural law, which we understood tonight to be the eight Prakritis. And this is the goal of Vedic agriculture. The technologies of Maharshi Vedic organic agriculture align and balance individual and collective life in such a manner that nature and man become mutually nourishing and supportive. The Vedic technologies used in Maharshi Vedic organic agriculture enliven the full range of intelligence and vitality within the plant and within the environment to ensure that all the products are enlivened in total natural law. The real and most fundamental concern in Vedic agriculture is how lively, how balanced, and how supportive is the creative intelligence of natural law in the farmer, in the plants, and in the environment. In Vedic agriculture, we're concerned with that agency which transforms the soil and the air and the water into fruits and vegetables. We're concerned with creativity, and most essentially, we're concerned with the pure creative intelligence which is responsible for the balanced expression of that creativity. We want to make sure that the creative intelligence of nature is strong and comprehensive and not weakened in any way. We want to be sure that all of the forces responsible for successful agriculture are timely and supportive. So when we speak of Vedic agriculture, we're speaking of the creative and perfectly coordinated intelligence of natural law. This is what will bring together all the needed factors such as sun and rain, temperature, water, plant health, seed vitality, etc. The more natural law is enlivened, the more effortless and abundance will be the process of agriculture, because agriculture is fundamentally dependent upon supportive nature. So, what's happening here in Fairfield and Maharshi Vedic City? So, I've described this evening Maharshi Vedic organic agriculture standards, some of them. These are the standards that have been approved by the international organization, the Global Council of Rajas and Rajeshwaris and Ministers. And these are the standards which define what is Vedic agriculture. The certification of this will be done by the Maharshi Vedic Organic Agriculture Institute, which is established here in Fairfield. The president is Dr. Carl Jorgensen, and we have an agency which will be certifying these things, and they'll be certifying these Vedic procedures. And this is Acharya Dave now that has come to... we had to train the pundits, because these are not recitations that they were trained in the past. These are something new, something that hasn't been performed in a few thousand years. So let me turn it over to Acharya Dave, and he can tell you a little bit about the process that we went through to train the pundits and how it is that a pundit can recite something and it can affect the environment. What is the mechanics of how yajna works?
Satyo vratam satyaparam trisatyam satyasya srutam nihitam cha satye satyasya satyam vrata satyanetram satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapannah. Jai Gurudev. Thank you very much, Raja Konausi, for giving this beautiful opportunity to be with all the enlightened faculties, distinguished guests. After many years, I think about 28 years, I came in Iowa at the time of Taste of Utopia with Maharshiji. That time it was a MUM campus. Now it is a Vedic city. So this is the progress of evolution. Here now we have hundreds of Vedic pandits, and those Vedic pandits are doing Rudrabhishek and so many anushthanas. But as we are seeing in the Maharshi Vedic Organic Agriculture, I know before a few years when Raja Konaus first time came to me and he said that we would like to see in this some quote and Vedic literature, this Vedic agriculture. I didn't hear the Vedic word, and then I said, no, please, I do not want to enter into the field of agriculture because I am not aware of anything. As far as Vedic is concerned, yes, I am interested, and that is the field. But as far as agriculture is concerned, I said, I do not know anything about. But then we went into the scripture in Vedic literature to see what is, how they have narrated, and in Vedic times, what is Vedic agriculture was. That Maharshi said, you know, the transformation of plants, which Raja Konaus has said about, the transformation by the reverberation of Vedic literature sounds. Because as the sounds of Vedic literature affecting us, as the sounds affecting our consciousness, as the sounds affecting the environment, likewise. Now we have seen also, which we read before in the Vedic literature, but now we have seen practically that it gives that effect, which is the aim of the Vedic agriculture, is narrated in Vedic Vangmayi. Vedic literature is Annam Brahma Raso Vishnu Bhokta Devo Maheshwaraha. This is one of the verses mentioned in the Vedic literature, that Annam Brahma, whatever we eat, the grains, that grains should bring the totality, that grains should have the potentiality of evolutionary direction, which leads us to the evolutionary direction. Because if we are meditating, we are doing our best, all the efforts of Ayurveda and Jyotish and Sthapathyaveda and everything, but if we eat the wrong food, then definitely going to affect our physiology, which is going to affect our mind, which is going to affect our path of enlightenment. So we have to have the right type of, right quality of food. Now quality when we speak, there are two things, like organic food. They say this is also quality food, which is just organic. But Vedic organic agriculture, it has a difference is that Vedic organic enlivens the inner glorification of a plant, whereas the organic may give the outer glorification to the plant. So this mechanism of inner glorification of the plants, that we have looked everywhere in the Vedic literature, and we are doing all the recitations of those prakritis, how to enliven, how to give that evolutionary power to the plant, which when we eat the food, we have the right type of, or the Maharshi says, spontaneous right action is the result. How to bring that? So that is why we have this Vedic organic agriculture, that we give all the recitations as we, like sanskaras, there is one word if you are aware of in Vedic literature, the sanskaras. For human being also, there are 16 types of sanskaras are expressed in Vedic literature. Likewise, we have this 8 type of sanskaras of the plants, to the plants, how to re-enliven those qualities in the plants. Those recitations, when they are given, they gain the full strength of its kind, full power, and that food which will give us the quality of, which I said before, annam brahma, raso vishnu, like fluid system in the food, which is called vishnu, or the quality of vishnu is expressed in the fluid system. Vishnu, as we are aware of all the words of Brahma and Vishnu, I may not need to elaborate on that, but the annam brahma raso vishnu bhokta devo maheshwarah. Who is eating the food or who is taking that meal, he should have the experience of Maheshwarah, means higher states of consciousness he should experience, but that higher states of consciousness can be experienced only when food is, or annam is Brahma, and in that annam, fluid system has the potentiality of Vishnu. So in order to gain that perfect power in the food, in the grains, in the plants, in the trees, Maharshi Vedic organic agriculture is working, and we are trying our best to give the best results. Now here in Maharshi Vedic city, we have pandits of all the so many different aspects of Vedic literature. We have gathered all of them and we have trained them properly for this particular, because Vedic agriculture was not practiced. They know the Vedas, they have recited, then they have studied, they have memorized, they have, but it wasn't practiced. So that is why we went to the greenhouse here. And then we had all the recitations at certain timings of the plants, and all the Vedic pandits have been trained for that. Now they are Raja Konhaus will show the pictures also of some of the recitations. So this is the basic program we have, that Maharshi Vedic agriculture. Otherwise, organic agriculture will give the outer glorification, may give the better taste, but may not be that much better quality of evolutionary direction. Which Vedic agriculture, Vedic organic agriculture will lead us to in that direction of evolutionary progress. I would not take much time of all of you since it's already maybe too late, but we will definitely answer the questions if you have any, and I'll pass it on to Raja Konavsi. Thank you very much. Jai Gurudev.
Thank you very much, Acharya Dhabi. I wanted to clarify one thing just so that everyone understands. The standards I mentioned, and by the way, you can get a copy of the standards, which summarizes a lot of the points from the lecture tonight, plus lists all of the 12 standards. It's on the Maharshi Vedic Organic Agriculture Institute website. I hope, Carl, isn't it? Okay. So it's a PDF file. It's about 25 pages. MVOAI.org, Maharshi Vedic Organic Agriculture Institute.org. So you'll have a summary of the lecture tonight, and you'll have those standards. And I wanted to make sure everybody understands, too, that where we are in this project is we've done our first application of these Vedic procedures. It finishes tomorrow, actually, in the greenhouses. We call it a research run, because it's the first time and we were understanding exactly how it's going to work and how the timings will be and everything. So in the past, because Maharshi's attention has been on our agriculture projects, we've tended to call the food Maharshi Vedic Organic. But really, the first Vedic organic agriculture food is about this big right now. It's just starting, you know. So as the winter unfolds in the greenhouse, the campus here will be getting some of this food from the greenhouses. The university, the town will also have it at the markets. But we're going to begin to enforce that value that we shouldn't call it Maharshi Vedic Organic Agriculture unless it really has gone through these series of recitation and it meets these criteria of freshness and fully ripened, etc. So I just wanted to clarify where we stand on that so that you don't all think that you can go downtown tomorrow and buy any vegetable you want and it'll be Maharshi Vedic Organic. But there has been a tremendous influence we feel on the environment here as a result of these procedures. When we do the sankalpa, or the intention of the yajna, we do it, we say that we want to enliven, say, bhumi, or the earth element, in the plants and in the environment. So the environment gets balanced at the same time as the specific crops get balanced. So we're hoping that this is going to make, as this program grows and more farmers take on this value of doing this thing for their crops, not only will they have supreme quality food, but our whole country will become much more balanced and integrated. So I don't know what your time frame is. If those who want to go, I guess, could go. We have time for questions if you would like. Yes, I'll turn the mic over to Sarah for the question.
Yes.
Okay, just to repeat, many vegetables you can't wait until they're as ripe as they could be. Like, for instance, a zucchini, you pick it far before it's completely ripe. Likewise, a similar question, let's say winter squashes, they're good for months and months and months. So how do you handle these types of things?
So this is a very good question, and that's why we did a research run first, to be able to understand all of these questions. Ideally, ideally in a say it's something like a tomato. You know, we can go through all the way from seed to a fully ripened fruit. So that would be the normal cycle. But as we were just explained, in a spinach leaf, okay, we eat the leaf before the plant is mature. In a winter squash, we might keep the squash for a long time. The situation is that we still will go through all of these eight values in the time between the seed is planted and the time we harvest, even though we haven't maybe gotten to the fruiting stage. At least the plant itself will be exposed to all of these values of natural law. So normally if we go through the whole thing and from fruit to seed, then that's fine. We know we've done it at the proper time in the plant's life. But if we have to do it a little bit early because we're going to be picking a part of the plant that's not the fruit, for instance, the leaf or the root or something, we feel it's still okay because the plant will have had the experience and the enlivenment of all of these before we picked it. And then in terms of some crops which naturally are, quote, keeper crops, like potatoes or whatever, I think that's... that food is designed to maintain its freshness and its vitality after it's picked. It doesn't naturally rot. You know, we can keep a winter squash for months and months. We can keep a potato for months and months. So in that case, the food value remains in at least a great quantity. At least a great quantity. And again, we know the effects of yajñas can last for a long time. If we do personal yajñas, they last for a year or more. We don't have to do the yajñas every day. So like that, once the plants have experienced the yajñas, those values of lively creative intelligence remain with the plant. And as long as the plant is fairly fresh, they should remain. So it's a special case, as Dr. Fisher is bringing out. But I think it's okay. We will be able to classify those as Vedic food. Yes.
That are working actively in the compost pile?
Well, yeah, the thing is that there's the same Vedic procedures we can use for livestock, you know, and we could consider the bacteria in the compost pile as livestock. I mean, Vedic vibration is an incredible science. You know, you can enliven water, you can enliven bacteria, you can enliven soils, you can enliven, you know, anything. And as a natural byproduct of the eight recitations, the entire environment does get enlivened. The fluid systems in the earth, the fluid systems in the bacteria, they're all going to benefit. But Maharshi chose to focus on the plants themselves as the primary focus, simply because that's the structure that we'll be taking in. But as a natural result of that, yes.
Another study we want to do is to find out when we're performing these Vedic procedures, what's happening to the bacteria in the soil and what the plants are able to do with the nutrients that are naturally there. We expect things will really change. And so... that's why we have a research in progress here. We're going to be really looking at all angles of it.
But we've decided that research is going to be quite challenging, too, because once you start making everything better, then everything's going to get better. So it's going to be hard to get a control group that's valid. Yes, Fred.
I was wondering on the specificity of the chanting. For instance, if it's for seed becoming a swollen seed, does that mean if you have broccoli and carrots and other things that grow from seed, will the chanting affect all of them at once? And then also the question that you just alluded to, how to what extent is the effect? Is it just the broccoli in the greenhouse? Is it the broccoli in your greenhouse and your neighbors or all Jefferson County?
This is a question we also had to answer, you know. We'll pass it. The main thing is that, like an individual, you sign up for your yagyas in India for your perfect health, let's say. Your name is in the Sankalpa. That means the yagya is directed towards you, towards your consciousness, towards your physiology. That the value of Sankalpa is to state specifically what this yagya is for. It naturally happens that that yagya also nourishes the whole world, but you're the primary recipient. Like that, when we did the greenhouses, we took the specific seeds that were going to be planted in those greenhouses. And those seeds took part in the yagya. The Sankalpa was for enlivening those seeds, and also the owner, in this case, like the owner of the greenhouse, like Maharshi World Peace Vedic Organics or Maharshi University of Management, were the two owners of the greenhouses. Their names are also brought out, and the names of the farmers, Farmer Roger Wynn, you know, and Farmer Steve McClaskey, you know, the names of the farmers were brought out. So this helps to specify the specific focus of that yagya. It's for that owner, for his crops, and for the particular crops that were there. That's how we narrow it down. But again, we're not quite sure how lively. I thought it was going to be very specific. But at the first yagya, I just felt my awareness go so global, so quickly, that I realized that the world really needs balanced prakritis. You know, the world is really imbalanced. So these particular recitations which focus on that seem to have gotten gobbled up by the world, you know. So I felt that it was a pretty big effect. But to answer your question, though, it is specific for those owners. Do you want to comment on Sankalpa?
Because in Sankalpa, we always the person surrounding also, or the family, like let's say when we take the Sankalpa of you for some certain yajna, of course the family is benefited also. It's not only intensity will differ, but the effect of, because if your right behavior, your right thought, your right action will definitely your home will affect the surrounding also, in the neighborhood also. And likewise, and we consider, you know, the whole world is our family. So the effect definitely goes. But particularly the main intensity of the, you know, effect will be to that greenhouse or those plants only. And the good effects of may not be that vital, but at least some good effects will be definitely spreaded all over the surrounding also.
It's another good question. There are many aspects of Vedic science that we could employ in addition. For instance, muhurta, you know, starting at the proper time to plant the seeds, etc. The effect of the cycles of the moon and the sun and nakshatras. The Jyotish books do bring out certain nakshatras that are good for farming, for different qualities. Again, Maharshi decided to take the focus of these eight prakritis as the primary focus. And we do and we will incorporate some of these other values. We do now and we will incorporate more in the future. But we didn't take that angle as the primary angle, because Maharshi felt that it was these plants that we wanted to be enlivened in total natural law. He said, this is what total natural law is. Therefore, we want to enliven that range. Because he had a very specific intention. Total law, natural law in the plants, total natural law in the physiology, higher states of consciousness. So that's why we focused in that direction. Yeah, this is a very delightful question for us, because this is, we hope, the next step, you know. How are we going to roll this out? Oh, the question was, it's okay when you have the pundits in the greenhouse, that's quite easy, but what if you want to do Wyoming, Nova Scotia, British Columbia, California, New Jersey, etc., all at one time? That's a lot of farms. I was just looking today at the number of organic farms in the country, and it's in the thousands and thousands. So first let me say that we want to open it up to this whole community in the spring. We would like all of the farmers in the community to take part in this program and to have the yajñas done for their farms and for their crops, so that the entire community can have Vedic organic food in abundance. And Roger Fagan is always bringing to our attention the need to do this, because the bad guys out there are growing, you know, the ones that are growing the GM crops and stuff, they're growing more and more food. And so for our own well-being, we have to think about how to spread the knowledge of purity in agriculture and come up with a system that will be workable and useful to farmers so they can adopt this. So first I wanted to mention that we want to open it up. Just like the yajñas in India, we'll do the yajñas for the whole community probably from one central point. So although the farmers may move, I mean the pundits may move around from farm to farm from time to time, but you know we'll do the seed yajña for the first stage for all the farmers that are ready to plant their seeds, we'll do it. If 2 weeks later some more farmers want to plant some different seeds, we'll do it again. If 2 weeks later some more farmers want to plant some more seeds, we'll do it again. Whenever the plants have reached the second stage, you know, when the first rains have come, then we'll do it for those plants. And like that, we'll be able to keep a calendar of which farm is in which stage, and then we'll request the pundits to do the recitation for that farm at that proper time. So we think we can do that. And you know, if this is an economically viable program, which is what we want to make it, we can hire as many pundits as we need to do this, which would be great, because one of the original intentions Maharshi had was to support pundits. And again, our experience was that it's so incredibly balancing to the physiology, and it's so incredibly balancing to the environment that people want to do it just for their own personal well-being. I mean, we were actually able to distinguish the effect on buddhi, the intellect, versus the effect on manas, the mind, versus the effect on, you know, this bhumi, the structural elements. So you can feel the effects, the specific effects in your own consciousness. And that's the effects we know the plants are experiencing. That's the effects the environment is experiencing. So this has an incredible upside. And I think the next phase for us will be that we have, we hope, two large companies in India that want to do this or have mentioned that they want to do this. So, and they're in their crop season now. So Sarah and I are leaving for India on Wednesday. And we hope with Acharya Dave's aid to train another set of pundits in India and then try it for these large organic farms in India. And then by the time the spring comes back around, then we hope to be active in Fairfield again for the farms here in Fairfield. And then we have to research it. You know, we have to see what happens. We have to see if there are increases in crop yields, if there's increases in crop nutrients. Is it abstract, like it's more vitality in the food? Do we feel better when we eat the food? You know, we need for Fred to take the EEG of people eating Vedic organic food. I mean, we have a lot to demonstrate to the world. We didn't know what to expect because this hasn't been done in thousands of years. But we were really, really happy with what we experienced these last, you know, month when we did this. We were really happy from our own experience. And there was one beautiful quote that I didn't read to you, but came from one of the greenhouse, Barbara. It came from Barbara, I think, from the greenhouse. She said, people used to come to the greenhouse and they'd say, oh, it's so beautiful in here. The plants look so beautiful. Now they come into the greenhouse and they say, wow, it feels fabulous in here. You know, the feeling is fantastic in here. That's the kind of result we want to feel in the food. You know, wow, I ate this food and I was feeling a little dull and groggy and now I'm just right there. You know, if that kind of balance can be incorporated in the food and then in the physiology, we'll consider ourselves successful. But that, you know, it took, what, 20 years to get the world community to buy 3% organic food. So we have a battle ahead of us here. Now, this is pretty abstract stuff. But, you know, when the phase transition finally comes and everybody goes Vedic, then this is going to be cutting edge, you know. So.
Could you foresee a time when people will be able to go on a website from their firm and plug in some of the seeds and the crops they plan to grow in their firm and you'll be able to direct the
energy
to use it the same way that we do with our personal
office for that firm? Yeah. The question is, you know, how abstract can we get it? You know, can we do it just like they do it in India where someone signs up for a yajna? The yajna is, you know, the jyotish is done for the person. They inform the pundits. They inform the sponsor of the yajna. Your yajna will be on this day, you know. You should be rested, like that. Theoretically, we can do it like that. We're not ready yet. We felt the tremendous value of having the specific pundit's attention on the farm. We felt a great value for the farmers to experience this. They really became happy farmers. So, you know, I think that it'll eventually go in that direction. But Maharshi's desire was he wanted pundits in every country. And he wanted pundits on every big farm, you know. This is Vedic life, you know. Pundits should be everywhere. You know, India has millions of pundits. All we have to do is train them and give them a job and they'll be here in a moment. So we want to do that. Yes. Good problem.
As the influence is going to spread, there's something that you could do. We know that the effect of yajna is not limited by geography, by distance. You know, yajna going on in India 8,000 miles away, and it knocks your socks off. And similarly here, now we've got whatever, 1,000 pundits here now, and our target is 1,250, but what we really want is 1,500. Why not do a time series analysis? In 1 year, you say, okay, we're going to cook Iowa this year, and next year we cook Illinois, and the next year we cook Iowa, and the next year we cook Illinois. And you just flip-flop and you watch the statistics of what is the bounty that is produced and how does it change? Does it go back and forth in accord with your intervention? I think it would be very powerful.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good idea. I hope you all heard the idea. We should pass this mic around because it's being recorded, I think. But it's a very good idea, but then you have the problem, well, maybe the rains were good in Iowa this year and they were bad in Illinois. You know, I mean, there's still environmental issues. But we will be designing, this is why Marcy, you know, wanted us to come here too, because we have good faculty here. We'll be designing experiments. There'll be lots of PhDs here in Vedic agriculture where people will be doing these studies, very exciting studies. This is really cutting-edge knowledge. This is really dealing with, you know, the fundamental values of nature, and it's going to be fun to research. And we'll have some flops, and we'll have some successes, you know. But in terms of the research, not in terms of the project. But we want to design experiments like that. And it'll be really something special. The question was, what are the recitations we're using? You know, that is the proprietary part of the knowledge, just like the mantras in meditation and the mantras, the Siddhi program. It's to keep the teaching pure, but we use, you know, a good range of the Vedic literature: Rig Ved, Sama Ved, Yajur Ved, Atharva Ved, Krishna Yajur Ved, Shukla Yajur Ved, the Puran. So we are pulling these values from the full range of the Vedic literature because we want to enliven the full value of natural law.
Second question, if I may. The presentation was beautiful and very interesting. I know that there are many publications on different aspects of Maharshi's Vedic knowledge. Is there one on agriculture at this time that...
Yeah, we're about 150 pages into that. So that should come out fairly soon. We should have a nice book that brings out all these principles we talked about tonight and all about the organization and stuff. So yes, we really want to do that. It's needed because Marcy's knowledge of agriculture has not gone out widely yet. It's been one reason that we've had a lot of responsibilities as Rajas for our country, so we haven't had as much time to do this. But there's a real need for it now, so we are going to put more time into it and do that. This is a great idea. What he's pointing out here is that even though we may be picking some spinach leaves, you know, because we're eating spinach leaves from our garden, we should leave some of the plants go to seed. And those plants should enjoy the full cycle of the 8 recitations. And then we have Vedic organic seeds, fully intelligent seeds. And that'll grow like we talked about in the beginning. Seed, plant. That'll evolve generations of this value of Vedic consciousness. I was in Flow Drop just recently for the National Directors Conference, and some very old and wise farmer there was speaking to me. And he was bringing out this quality of seeds to me. And it really struck me as being integral to Vedic agriculture. He said, you know, most people think of seeds as having the knowledge of all past generations, you know, because it has the genetic code of the seed, and that genetic code contains the entire evolutionary history of that seed. And that's a beautiful concept, to think that the whole life, generation in the past, is all been incorporated into that DNA, and it's now being expressed at that moment in the seed. But what he brought out that I hadn't thought out is that that moment, that seed also contains all future possibilities in that seed. All the future evolution of that plant for generations, you know, infinite generations in the future is also contained in that seed. And therefore, when we enliven the eightfold total natural law in that seed, we are, in a sense, giving that balance to all future generations. Just like when we as parents give our meditating consciousness to our children, we're giving that balance to all future generations. It's an incredibly beautiful idea that you, what you do is not limited to this moment in time, but to all future generations. Okay, one more question and then we can close. And if anybody has any final things after the people leave, we can stay afterwards a minute if anybody wants to stay.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the beautiful presentation. What about dairy products? Are there Vedic procedures for enlivening the milk and the cows and the cheese and the yogurt and all that stuff? Thank you.
Yes, yes. These same eightfold, eight prakritis. You know, you remember the drawing of the cow. You know, there's the eight prakritis are lively in the eight systems, the organ systems of the cows. So we'll want to do this procedure of the sanskaras, like Acharya Dabe was mentioning. You know, for children, you know, they have different ceremonies they perform at the life of the child. Same way from the life of the cow, we'll be able to do these different ceremonies. Then that cow's physiology will be structured in those eightfold balanced nature. And then we'll have a balanced mother cow. And that should affect the products.
Dr. Pearson had to go out. He was called away. But he asked me to convey his very deep and sincere thanks for the absolutely wonderful, very rich presentation that the three of you have brought to us this evening. It was reminiscent quite a bit of Maharshi's presentations. Whenever Maharshi brought out a particular subject like education or agriculture or government, he always began with the unified field, and he always showed how that discipline emerged from the unified field, how the unified field governs itself, how it governs creation, and that being a prelude to how we should structure our own government. And one of the very beautiful aspects of this presentation was that you brought out all of the beautiful knowledge. You showed how agriculture is not just something that you do on the surface, but that it has its roots in the most fundamental values of creation. And so we want to thank you very, very much for the rich presentation. But even more, I think we can't lose sight of the significance of the last 3 months. This is a whole area of Maharshi's Vedic knowledge that's being begun on a very practical level for the first time. And this, in a sense, is the seed of Maharshi's whole Vedic organic agricultural program. And it's very, very profound. It's something that's happened here that doesn't happen very often. A whole new technology of consciousness has begun to emerge. And we have the greatest gratitude to Raja John and to Dr. Sarah and to Acharya Daveji for bringing about this fantastic contribution to humanity. And I think we should all give them our greatest appreciation for... I do have one very quick practical announcement for those who may have been signed up to take the Ramayan course with Michael Sternfeld, which also conflicted with this meeting. You'll be happy to know that there will be a makeup session of tonight's first lesson on Wednesday night at 7:50 in Festival Hall, which is upstairs right next to the dining room, so you won't have missed your first lesson with Michael. And thank you all very much, and thank you again, Jagurdev.